Hello. Welcome to Q&A with Perry A. on Calcium Bentonite Clay. That was a song called Stronger, and I think that's where we all want to be, stronger in our bodies and our minds and our spirits and our health and our lives. So I thought that was an appropriate song to start the day. And I welcome your questions. We'll discuss calcium bentonite clay, and I'm here to answer your questions. So I hope you brought some questions for me. I'm going to slip over to the Q&A board and see what we have there. Okay. Oops. Let me go back and try that again. Okay, I'm not getting the questions. Let me go back here. I had a question earlier about Epstein-Barr. And here it is. I was wondering if you've ever seen anyone who's had a success story with Epstein-Barr virus. I'm suffering from great fatigue and wondering if the clay could be used to rid my body of it. I've heard you talk about positive and negative charges, so it makes sense to me that clay could possibly help. If so, could you explain how, and could you suggest using it, and how long it should be taken for? This is Elise in Arlington. Elise, Epstein-Barr is a virus, and clay does, viruses are a positive ion, and they do affect and draw to them the viruses. It's from the herpes family, and we've had successes in different regions of the herpes virus, so I don't see any reason why it wouldn't help this. One of the things with Epstein-Barr is usually a sore throat, swollen lymph glands, and lower white blood cells, lots of white blood cells. They're out of control. Well, clay will increase red blood cells, so it will counterbalance that. Plus, it's going to cleanse your immune system, your digestive tract, balance your pH, get rid of parasites, overall increase your energy. So it should start helping. You know, I would definitely drink the clay, and I might even take a few clay baths, but I would definitely drink the clay 2 to 3 times daily, a couple of ounces of the liquid clay, and I think you'll start feeling better and seeing some return. How long depends on how bad you have it. If you have the chronic fatigue, it's a symptom that you've had it for about 6 months and it's kind of gotten advanced. So it may take a little longer to come under control. But you're going to be getting other benefits as well from the clay. It reduces inflammation in the joints. And the balancing in the body, the balancing of your pH is very important. So I would definitely try it. You can take it as long as you want until you get results. And then you may want to continue it for a month after that to make sure that, you know, the red blood cells are doing their thing and see if it's getting control of the virus and the, lowering the white blood cell count. If your glands are swollen, I would suggest taking some of the clay mud, the mask, and make a poultice and put over the area of your glands, and you can just let it dry and wash it off, or you can put it on and put some saran wrap or something on it if it's, you know, getting on your clothes to keep it off your clothes. So I would definitely try it, and I think it would help you. Okay, let's see what other question. Elaine in Union City. My mother is 86 years old. So my question is it okay to take this clay if one is on medication? Does the clay remove myotoxins from the body that are lodged in the lungs or brain? Does the clay cross the brain barrier? Also, since I have started taking the clay, I feel this tingling sensation, in back, is that a good sign? I guess you mean in your back. A tingling sensation is a good sign. It's a sign the clay is working. there may be something lodged there that it's working on. I've had people drink the clay the first time, and one lady felt a tingling sensation in her bunion, and she started noticing her bunion was getting smaller. I get a tingling sensation the first time when I put it on my toenail fungus. It's almost like if you're still, you can feel just a little movement, a little energy in there, something going on, and it's the pulsating effect of the clay pulling out the infection. So that's a good sign. I don't know if it crosses the brain barrier. Clay is not absorbed into the bloodstream. However, it can work externally, and if you have something that you think is lodged in the brain barrier or in the lungs, put a clay poultice over those areas, the clay mud. You might want to warm it over the lungs, and they used to treat tuberculosis a long time ago with hot clay packs over the chest and the lungs. And maybe even cold over the back of the neck, the brain area, wherever it is, put the clay there, put something on it to keep it from getting on everything, and give it a try. It's certainly worth helping. Now, as far as taking it with medications, no, you don't want to take it with the medications. Check with your pharmacy and ask them how long it takes for her to absorb the different medicines. And then once she's absorbed the medicine, you're free and clear to take the clay. So I just, that's the only precaution, is there are some medicines that it interferes with. We're not sure which one, so the safe thing to do is do that and wait until after you've absorbed the medicine to take the clay. Mild toxins from the body. You know, another thing you might do to remove these that are lodged in the body is to take a clay bath. I don't know if your mother's able to get in and out of a bathtub, but it would be wonderful if she could take a hot clay bath and get down and soak in the water with the clay in it, because it will literally pull these toxins from your body, from the joints, from the tissues that they're lodged in, and pull them out of the body. So there are three applications for clay for that, and I hope that helps. Thank you. Michelle Billings in Naples. Can the West Nile virus be treated with living clay, and if so, what's the process? I don't know if the virus itself could be treated with it, but I definitely use it for a preventative. It's a virus, so I'm thinking, you know, most viruses clay is very effective on. So I would drink it, I would take the clay bath, but I would keep clay with me all the time, and anytime you experience a mosquito bite, put clay thickly, that clay mud, right over the insect bite, because it will literally pull the venom out before it gets into the bloodstream and circulates in the body and becomes the West Nile virus in your body. Drinking it is also good. Like I say, if you have the virus, I haven't had anybody that's had it that's tried to treat it with living clay, but I would certainly try it. I would see if, I don't know if there's anything they have out there that treats it effectively or not, but I definitely want to be drinking the clay and taking clay baths. So, would be my approach. Very good question. Thank you. I think it's one of the best preventatives you can have anyway, is to drink a little clay before your meals. So you're getting any parasites, or any pesticides or herbicides that might be in your food. If you're eating fish, it'll get the mercury out. So it's going to capture these things before they enter the body. This takes the overload off kidney and liver so they can take care of filtering out the other things that are in your body that's what they do when they're not in overload and everything gets backed up. We're piling it in faster than the body can normally get rid of it. But good question there. I'm a big believer of keeping clay available when you get mosquito bites, keeping it with you if you go camping outside. I've got a football game practice for my grandson this Friday, and I'm definitely going to take it with me. Is there a significant difference between calcium bentonite clay and the red desert calcium montmorillonite clay? There are significant differences in each deposit of clay. the mineral composition is different, their pH levels are different, the amount of the different minerals are different. All clays act to some extent as a drawing power and a detoxing. Some just work better than others. Some clays are better topically. Some clays are better internally. A lot of clays are very gritty and sandy, and some clays are finer and dissolve easier and emulsify and make a richer paste. Your calcium bentonite, your smectite clay, now your calcium montmorillonite. Montmorillonite is a buzzword that was picked up. The original mine was at Montmorillon, France, and it was a clay from that, a green clay from that area. They've since closed the mine for environmental reasons. I think they dug up all the reserves there were there. But now everybody has picked up the word Montmorillonite as a healing clay. And there's some Montmorillonite in all clays. Clays are kind of a mixture of other clays. They have different clays in them. But there is a dominant clay. And there are very few true Montmorillonite clays. So it's going to take a chemist to tell you which ones are really the true Montmorillonite. But most all clays have some Montmorillonite. So they say calcium Montmorillonite. And it's just started, people are using that as just another way to sell their clay. What you want to know, is it a clay from the smectite family? Your Montmorillonite and your bentonites are in the smectite family of clays. The smectite family of clays have the highest drawing potential, the highest cation exchange rate, and I'm getting into chemistry here that's probably a little over your head, but they're the ones that are known as your healing clays. So a lot of these things people are using as buzzwords to sell their clay. Ran across a site the other day that I just had to laugh at, and it was called Survival Clay. And there was a guy standing in front of this chalky cliff with a gun, like they have to guard this secret clay deposit. It's so good, and they have to stand there guarding it. And if anybody has done the photoshopping, you can look at it and see the man has been superimposed over this cliff. I doubt if he was ever in that location. So you got to watch the marketing ploys. People are desperate to sell their stuff. I say the proof is in the pudding. Get two clays and compare them and find out for yourself. It won't take very much. You can get a small amount and just try it. But a good clay, you'll definitely see the difference. But do inquire and be inquisitive. What the main thing you want to know if you're taking it internally, is it laboratory tested? Is it safe? Is it free of all the harmful bacteria, your E. coli, there's several dominant things we want to look at, and the names are so long I can't say them all. But anyway, you want to make sure it's tested. It's pure as food. You want a food-grade clay, a clay that's been tested and that meets food-grade standards. That's what you're looking for. Thank you. Sherry has another question. Can drinking clay help dissolve uterine fibroid tumors? Yes, I have read that in several books that they're very useful for that. Drinking, putting a poultice over the stomach, and also doing a douche. Put about 2 ounces of the liquid clay into a pint of your water to do a douche. And but we have had success with that, and I read that in several books when I first started researching that it's beneficial for that. Annie in Fort Worth, my husband has Barrett's esophagus. Will clay have any effect on healing the damage? Yes, it will. When you drink the clay, it sort of coats the esophagus and goes down and coats the stomach. And, of course, it slides down. So frequent smaller amounts during the day will help take out the inflammation. Like it will settle in the stomach and stay there for a little while, but the esophagus is going to kind of run down. So I would drink liquid clay, and I would sip on it during the day, just take little sips here and there. Clay takes out inflammation. It's going to balance your pH. pH is a big factor in this esophageal disease because it burns the inside of the esophagus when the stomach acid comes back up. So it's very good for any kind of acid reflux because it's going to balance the pH, going to remove the inflammation and help it in that way. So that's my recommendation on that. And I think you'll get relief pretty quickly. All right. Sharon in Fort Collins. Hi there, Sharon. You're one of our loyal listeners. Do you know if there's any difference in plain calcium bentonite and the pascalite from the Bighorn Mountains? Where does your clay come from? Okay, the living clay comes from Death Valley, California. It's a desert clay. It's a subsurface mine, and it's been sealed with a 2-foot layer of crystalline zeolite over the top of the bed, and above that there's 6 to 8 feet of surface dirt, and all that's moved away to get down to the bed, but the zeolite was a gas bubble from the volcano that formed over the bed of clay, and it made this crystal formation, so water is not penetrating through it. So it's kept the bed very pure in clay. The pascalite clay is dug from inside a mountain, comes out wet, and they have to dry it. They're both calcium bentonite clays, but all clays react different. You know, the pascalite clay is pretty good for topical use. It's a grittier, grainier clay. I'm not so sure about internal use. Again, I suggest you get a little bit of both and try them for yourself. All clays are going to pull and draw some. You're going to get some benefits, but there are just some clays out there that are superior. Pascalite is not a bad clay. It does have some little flecks in it, so I don't know the purity if they have it tested and if it's food grade or not. The living clay meets federal food grade standards, so that's something you want to look for. All right, let's see if we have anything else. Well, it looks like we're out of questions for the moment, so I'm going to go over to the, let me get my, locate my place to the telephone lines. Wow, we've got a lot of listeners who've tuned in since the last time I looked at the phone line. So do any of our listeners have a question they would like to ask? And also, I'm going to ask if we don't have any more questions, does anybody have a success story they want to tell? You know, when we talk about how we use clay and how it helped us, it gives other people ideas on how to use it. And some people are very creative on how they use it, mix it, and apply it. And the best way, you know, sharing these stories is a wonderful way to teach us all something more about clay. So I invite you to share your success stories and tell us how clay has benefited you as well. If you want to tune in from the phone line, if you will press *2 on your phone, it will give me a little signal here that you would like to talk, and I can open that phone line and we can have a conversation. So that's *2 on the phone line, and let's hear from you guys. I want to hear from some of my people out there. And those people that are online, if you would want to send some questions or in the question area, tell me how your, what was your significant moment with clay that made you realize it was something worth keeping and using? Because we all have those. I have a call here from Los Angeles. Let me open this line. Hello, caller. Are you on the line?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Perry.
Yes, hello. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's still morning here for us in Los Angeles, so good morning to you. Good afternoon. My question is the clay okay to take if you plan to become pregnant or are pregnant?
You know, the Aborigine women were the first clay eaters on the planet, and they ate it when they were pregnant to help them with their pregnancies, and those stories go back from the beginning of time. My daughter took it when she's pregnant, and we discussed this earlier. There was one lady that had toxins in her body. She'd been exposed to something, and she wanted to detox with the clay baths, and she was wondering if taking the clay baths in the first trimester particularly would pull some of the toxins out and maybe stir some of the others up and get them active in her body where they hadn't pulled them all out with the first bath, say. And so we recommend in the first trimester not to take the clay baths. But my daughter took it when she was pregnant and said she couldn't have gotten through her pregnancy without it. When she got to the heartburn stage, she's very short-waisted, and, of course, the baby was pushing up on her stomach. And she was drinking Maalox by the bottle, and it wasn't helping at all. And the clay gave her instant relief, and it lasted for longer periods of time. There are several chapters in the book and several books that I've read about taking clay when pregnant. And some women believe that it helped them become pregnant, that it helped them to be more fertile. And we actually have had a customer whose daughter was trying to get pregnant and they couldn't, and they read that and they started giving her clay. And they went to a family vacation that weekend, and she took her clay with her and got pregnant. And so they named the baby Clay. Don't you love it?
I do.
Yes, I think it would be safe to take it if you're pregnant.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you very much.
My daughter took it, and I have a very healthy. Yes, thank you. Anyone else have a question they'd like to ask?
I can't hear now.
Probably got you
on the line. I can't hear
that. Just star 2.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello? Hello, Perry. Hi. I have a question.
All right.
Hi, how are you? I have a question. I wanted to know if it helps with attention deficit hyper disorder, ADHD.
You know, we use it quite a bit with children with autism. The clay baths calm them down. They make more eye contact. They seem to be more focused, and it improves their communication skills with the autistic children. And I don't see why that calmness wouldn't relate to your case too. Just give them some clay baths and have them drink a little clay. What age are we talking about?
How old?
All right, the clay bath. Yes.
67 years old.
How old? Okay. Give them about a teaspoon of the liquid clay. You could put it in some apple juice so they'll drink it. They don't usually, clay doesn't look very appealing. It's not like ice cream, so kind of capsules. Flage it in some grape juice or apple juice for them, and then give them a clay bath with about a half a cup of clay if he's just that old, and have them get, you don't have to fill the tub all the way up with little ones. They'll get down and lay in the tub and roll around, and you want to keep the clay water over them, so get a cup and kind of keep pouring it over them while they're in there. Most people notice a difference in the first clay bath with these autistic children. They just immediately notice. They're looking them right in the eye, and they have this calmness about them, and they become more verbal because many of the autistic children don't speak much. So let me know how that works, okay?
Okay. And can you do the clay even if they're on medicine for it?
Okay, call your pharmacy and ask them how long it takes to absorb the medicine.
Okay.
Because clay doesn't go into the bloodstream. So after the medicine's once absorbed, it's safe to take the clay.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Do we have any more callers? Star 2. And I'm going to go back over to the Q&A line and see if we have any more. Ginger in Center Point. Hi, Ginger. How are you doing? Do you know if anyone has used living clay on a hernia? And if so, what was the outcome? Hernia, you know, it may take a little of the inflammation away when you first put it on there as a poultice, but it's a tear in the muscles and in the stomach. And then if you try to, it's difficult to pull the two sides together where it can heal. So, because we're standing up and we sit down and we put weight on our stomach, and so we keep kind of pulling it open. So it's difficult to work on there, but if it's inflamed and it's painful, you know, put it on there and it'll help reduce the inflammation and take the heat out, just using it as a poultice. But that's a good question. But you may have to, you know, if it gets very large, you may have to get that stitched together. And then, you know, afterwards put the clay on it. It'll really help heal it. Okay? Thank you for that. That's a good question. Here's some more questions. What's the best way to treat severe lead and mercury poisoning? The best way is to take a clay bath. Now, if you know you have very high levels, you can use a 2-cup clay bath. And when I mix my clay, I don't like to sprinkle that much over the tub because it gets very dusty and it tends to lump. So put it in a blender. Put a cup or two of water in a blender. Put your 1 to 2 cups of powdered clay in and then top it off with water to about 1 inch of the top. Blend it until it's smooth and all the lumps are out. Start a hot clay bath. Pour it in there. Rinse your blender out real good. You want to get as much clay in the tub as you can. Take the blades off and wash them before you get in the tub. Get in the tub and soak. Now take a bottle of water. If the water is really hot, it opens the pores and it's easier to pull these toxins out. And I believe that clay baths not only pull the toxins out, but I believe from the results we get, there's another phenomena at work. I believe the clay helps stimulate the release of the toxins. So it helps the body, you know, give it over, let go of it, and then it pulls it out. So I would take 2 baths a week. Like you say, if you know it's severe, I would take 2 baths a week. I would look at the source of your mercury poisoning. If you get it from fish, that, you know, drink a little clay every day with your meals. If you're eating fish, drink some clay before you eat it, maybe a little afterwards. It'll catch any mercury that might be in the fish. If you have fillings, you need to see about getting them removed because old amalgam fillings begin to leak mercury, and they continue, and every time you chew, it releases more and more and more. So maybe after you eat, to get a mouthful of clay and swish it around and swallow it, and it'll capture and carry it out. So if you've been tested and know how much what your levels are, it's excellent because then you can do the clay baths for about 3 months and get tested again and see how much progress you're making. So good question there. Thank you. And Ginger again, do you know of anyone who's used living clay for the hernia? Sorry, I answered that question. And I forgot to click it, so let me see if we have any more questions coming in. Okay, I'm going to go back over to the phone lines and see if anybody's on the phone with a testimony. Oh, I have some people on the phone. Let me take this one from Fresno. Whoops, I lost it. Here it is. Hello, are you on the line?
Hello?
I'm calling, answering the call from... Yes, this is Perry. May I help you? Hello?
Hello, this is New Jersey.
Hello? Yeah. All right. Do you have a question?
This is New Jersey.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, you're in New Jersey?
Yes. Yes. Varicose
veins. Do you have
veins.
A question?
Yes. Is clay helpful for varicose veins?
Yes, ma'am, but you want to put the clay on thickly, cover it with some Glad Press and Seal or Saran Wrap, leave it on there thickly, and then occasionally let it dry. At night, put a thin coat on and let it dry and sleep with it on. But of course, staying off your feet. If you're going to be on your feet a long time, when I know I'm going to be on my feet a long time, I put a thin coat on my ankle. I have them on my ankle where I broke my ankle 40 years ago, and I just put them on there, and it keeps them tight. It keeps those little vessels tight and pull back in. But it's going to take some daily applications, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And is the caller from New Jersey still on the, from Fresno still on the line? Hello? Well, they must have gotten off to do something else. Well, our time's about up for today. Thank you all for coming in. Let me run back over and look at the Q&A line. Ah, here's my, let me try one more time. Is the Fresno caller on the line? Hello? Okay, I'm not getting anything there. See if we have any more questions that have popped up. Steve in Greensboro. Will clay help people with a lot of swelling in the ankles and legs? Have you heard of clay helps with Parkinson's? Will clay help with a person's brain after experiencing a stroke? Those are two things I don't think clay directly will help. It's not going to help regain the muscle use after a stroke, and I haven't heard of it helping with Parkinson's degrees. It's going to help the body and the immune system to stay stronger. It's going to get rid of parasites. It's going to balance your pH. It's going to keep fresh toxins from going in your body. So in that regard, drinking the clay is going to be beneficial. Swelling around the feet and legs, yes. Put the clay mud on as you can prop it up and let it dry. You'll feel it tightening and pulling. And some people say they put it on and cover it, and it just pulls the fluid out. It's the excess fluid out. I had a gentleman that had sprained his ankle. He had been soaking it in the Epsom salts, and he finally went to the clay, and he put it on, and he said the clay, the water started pouring off his legs so fast that the clay was sliding off. He'd have to reach down and put it back on there, but he had pretty severe swelling. So, yes, and what I would also do is take the clay mud and put a thin coat on at night before you go to bed, let it dry. You want a thin coat on. If you put a thick coat on, when it dries, it's going to crack and crumble, and you're going to wake up in a bed full of clay crumbs. So just put a thin coat on and let it dry and sleep with it on, and that'll help tighten up. It's going to bring circulation, and we need circulation in those feet and legs to keep the blood flow moving and to keep that swelling from collecting there. So definitely start using clay on your ankles and your legs, and I think you'll get a lot of relief from that pretty quick. So thank you for that question, and let's see if we have any more. Kenny in Fort Worth, the use of clay for skin cancers. Clay is good for minor skin cancers. You just keep putting it on topically. I just got a testimonial today from a lady, and she said she has reappearing little skin cancers that pop up on her all the time, and the minute she feels one coming off on, she starts applying the clay, and she applies it daily and at night and leaves it on at night, and they just kind of fall off. So for minor skin cancers, yes. If you have something like a carcinoma, go to the doctor, but go ahead and use the clay over the place. Clay tends to pull the cancer back to the point of location. So if it's spreading out, you put the clay on it. If you notice it's turning red around it, that's the sign that it's retrieving it. It's pulling it back. So keep that clay on there. But take care of yourself and use good common sense. If it's something advanced, get to a dermatologist too. But they don't know about clay, so that's your secret weapon to use on your own. Thank you, Kenny. Good question. Okay, let's see. Any more questions? Well, I think we've caught up with our questions. And is there anyone else on the phone lines that would like to ask a question? And I want to thank my listeners for contributing today with questions and with answering on the phone. And I appreciate all of you for tuning in, for your interest in clay. And if anyone has a question that's personal that you'd like to ask, you're welcome to contact me directly. My phone number is 512-262-7187. That's 512-262-7187. I know sometimes we have things going on with our bodies that are a little embarrassing to talk about, although I don't know why, because we all have the same things going on in the same bodies. But I'd be happy to talk to you in private. Now, go get some clay and use it. It'll benefit your day. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. This is Perrier, tuning out.